Dossier on Demetrius. A document now gathering dust in a silent room.
Major Keene, in his room on the Thames embankment, turns another page of The Dossier on Demetrius.
Eustace Manningley kept his appointment that night, kept it to the minute, at the third lamppost from the corner of Brand Street and Bowler's Lane, down near the docks by Bow. We knew Demetrius was hiding on one of the 32 ships tied up in the vicinity of Cork Street, and we were trying to pin the exact ship down to one of half a dozen or so before we moved in. So, in addition to scores of yard chaps and some of our own, I'd had Eustace Manningley hanging about the docks. Because Manningley was the one man who knew the face of every black market pole in London. Then I heard from him. I was to meet him at 11:30 in Bowler's Lane. He said he had information of the greatest importance. I took cuts. At 11:30 to the second, we turned up in Bowler's Lane. Manningley was leaning against the third lamppost. From our car, we could see him across the wet cobblestones, with the old warehouses looking down from their blind, boarded-up windows on either side. Only one of the windows wasn't blind. I got out of the car and crossed the street to Manningley. Cuts had driven up on the other side. Manningley just leaned there. I heard a ship coming up the river in the fog. Manningley was dead, tied to the post so that his feet stood flat on the ground. The fact had barely penetrated when Tom Cutts' sixth sense came into play.
Hang on! Down the ground! Get behind him!
Where are they?
Top window on the other side. Stay behind Manningley. They're in the warehouse.
Get back to the car. Oh, come, you get back to the car.
Nothing doing. I'm going in after them.
Don't be a fool.
Get this knife open. I'm cutting Manningley down and taking him across in front of me. Are you all right?
Yes, first one got me, left arm.
Yeah, make a run for it to the car, sir. Leave this to me. You'll have no cover if I take Manningley.
And that's about the time it took. Perhaps 20, perhaps 30 seconds. Cutts went across Boulder's Lane, holding Manningley before him. I tried to stop him, but into the warehouse he went. Boulder's Lane was silent again. The ambush had failed, and they weren't staying to fight it out. I'd been right the night before. It had been Eustace Manningley I'd heard cry out in the fog, and Demetrius had made use of him. He'd never inform again, I told myself. But I was wrong.
Murderous, flaming jackals. That's what they are. Couldn't even come into the open to shoot you in the back. And using a ruddy corpse for bait.
Shut up, Cutts. Let's get to a phone.
Not till I've had a look at that arm.
No, it's not so much. Bone's all right. I'll be all right so long as I hang on to this artery. Now get into the car and let's find a phone at the double.
Are you sure you can hang on,
yes,
sir?
Yes, yes, do as I say. There's a good chap. Open the door and give me a hand in.
What about Manningley?
Your friend's chaps can pick him up. No. No, get him in the back now.
Oh, all right, sir.
Wow. Never thought I'd be sorry for Eustace Manningley, sir.
All set?
Here we are. In you get, Major. Shall I tie your arm up till you get to a doctor?
No, let's get to a phone.
Rats, that's what they are. Sewer rats. Not even an informer ought to have been done in like Manningley.
I heard the shots. What happened?
I don't know. I caught Keane with my first. I saw him spin around.
Did you kill him?
I tell you, I don't know, Hedy. That fellow Cutts must have the senses of some kind of animal. He let out a shout before we even opened fire.
So, you didn't manage to kill either of them?
When Cutts shouted his warning, Keane went straight to ground and then took cover behind Manningley. Cutts started shooting back. He missed Jotty by a fraction of an inch after we'd fired two shots. I've never seen anything like it. He must have eyes like a cat. And then, do you know what happened?
How could I? I was waiting in the car listening to it.
Cutts took Manningley off the post and used him as a shield. He came straight across the alley and into the warehouse.
And you both ran.
I am in London for £1,000,000, not to fight duels with ex-commandos who are more suicidal than sane.
But you are quite happy to take time off to murder them. With the loot in your hands, waiting for you at Victoria Station, you still have time to lie in wait like beasts to shoot them down from hiding.
Do you presume to criticize, Eddie?
You have always told me your butchering was only done when necessary. Why should you be so determined to get rid of Gregory Keane?
Because Keane has become more than just an instrument of British military intelligence. Keane has followed us too closely. Some of the things he's discovered about us have been almost uncanny. How did he find the sanatorium? How did he know we'd ever been there? We left not a solitary trace of any description, but Keane was able to arrest Rudolf Buchmann. He arrived at the quarry in Norfolk 5 minutes after we'd dealt with Max Rubenstein. How? How, Haydee?
I always told you he was a man to be feared.
And perhaps loved.
Is that why you... Oh, so that's it. You, who call yourself Demetrius. And yet you were content to use me. I was to be with Gregory Keane every hour, every minute I could contrive. And now, because you think I might have spent too much time in his company, he must be destroyed.
I, too, have spent much time in your company, Haydee.
Should I be flattered that you're capable of feeling jealous on my account?
That's not the only reason. A man like Keane won't give up. When we leave London, I want to be free. I have no wish to be sitting on a terrace in Buenos Aires to turn around one day and see Keane standing behind me.
You're afraid of him.
I am afraid of nothing. You, above all people, should know that, Haydee. And I'm allowing you the latitude of this conversation because we've come to the end of the road. We've only to collect the loot from Victoria Station and go. And since we seem to have failed in our attempt to dispose of Keane, it's interesting to observe your reaction to it.
Then have my reaction. I'm glad. I'm glad he's alive. Do you hear me? I'm glad.
If you screech any louder, they'll hear you at St. Paul's. I suggest you forget this scene. But bear in mind that one's not made of forbearance. I have achieved a remarkable feat. Single-handed, I built up an organization here in London, working from Berlin under the very nose of British intelligence itself. I came here unmolested. Despite every effort they've made to pull me down, and despite every misfortune, tomorrow I shall carry off a huge hoard of currency. I can afford to be generous.
You'd better keep your generosity till you return from Victoria with the loot.
And I shall. The ship sails tomorrow with the tide. We leave tomorrow also. I hope you won't be too surprised when you learn of our final plans, Haydee. Since Keane knows we're on one of 32 ships, we'd be fools to stay on board much longer, wouldn't we? Good night, my dear. I'll leave you to dwell on your memories of Gregory Keane. Rest assured, you'll never see him again.
Well, how does the arm feel, Major?
Oh, a bit stiff. Darn lucky. What the deuce made you yell back there in Boulder's Lane?
Well, that I can't rightly say, sir. Just had a sort of feeling like.
If I hadn't jumped to it, they'd probably have scored a bull. As it is, all they did was bore a neat hole through the muscle, and that doctor chap says it'll be as good as new in a couple of weeks. Oh, did you get on to Frayne and Colonel Fentress?
Yes, sir. Inspector Frayne's on his way to the docks to have a look around those warehouses. See if he can find which way they went. And Colonel Fentress is on his way here to the flat now.
And what about men and his body down in the car?
Oh, there's a police ambulance coming to pick him up and a constable standing by.
All right. Let's get down there before it arrives.
Get down where, sir?
Down to Manly, of course.
Want you to take it easy for a while, sir. Lost a fair bit of blood, you know.
I've told you 10 times, Cuts. I feel perfectly all right.
But what do we want to poke about Eustace Manningly for? He can't tell us anything now.
He can't tell us anything. But there's just a chance Demetrius might.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You're a bit ahead of me.
Perhaps I know Demetrius better. Manningly was arranged on the post in Boulder's Lane for my benefit, wasn't he? I have an idea it was a temptation Demetrius couldn't resist. Come on, after you. Oh, and, Cuts, thanks for that shout of warning. I was a sitting shot.
That's all right, sir. Your turn next time.
Are you the constable on duty here?
Yes, sir.
I want to go through the chap's pockets. The ambulance will be here in a minute, but I don't want to have to traipse along to the morgue.
Oh, that's all right, sir.
Do your stuff, Cuts. I'll get in the front.
You can give him a hand if you like, Constable.
Yes, sir.
Try the pockets of his jacket first. Get round the other side of the car.
There's a wallet here, Major. The cigarette case, the bullet hole through it.
One that was meant for me, eh?
Yeah. A couple of bills, it looks like. Oh, what's the lock from the inside pocket? Left hand, outside one. Empty. Right hand is lighter. Must have been money in informing. Looks like gold.
Is that the lot?
There's only a handkerchief in his top pocket. Hello. What's this? Little scrap of paper, sir. I can't see too well.
Give it to me. Well, will you listen to this? Get out of the car quickly. Major Keane, the loot is at Victoria Station, and Eumetrius is... It ends there.
Oh, chase me, Aunt Fanny. How could that get into men's...
It's scented and in a woman's handwriting. Cuts, this could only have come from one person. Hedy Bergner. So the last link in Eumetrius's chain of murder and intrigue had snapped. Hedy was making her final desperate effort to betray him and perhaps save herself. That was something I never knew. The motives that prompted her to turn away from the course she'd pursued for so long. But her motives didn't matter. We were on our way to Victoria. At that stage, there were just 72 hours to go.
Arrangements for a murderer's reception are made in the next suspenseful chapter of Dossier on Eumetrius.